Let's all stand. Let's all stand. 251. We're going to sing all verses. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, working power, precious blood, the Lamb. Number two, would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood, red cleansing to power. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Number three, would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, in the blood. Since saints are lost in its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power. The precious blood of the Lamb. Number four, would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Brother Roel, would you please open us with a word of prayer? Brother Roel, would you please open? May you be seated. It's good to see familiar faces this morning. Any first-time visitor? Anybody who's here for the first time? I guess no one. That's okay. So why don't we shake each other's hand and then welcome everybody? Let's all stand. Let's go ahead and go around and shake each other's hand.
we have an announcement? How about fellowship on this day? Okay. Do you want to do those or do you want me to do those?
Sure.
And then, okay, you do that and then I'll do that.
Okay. For this morning's announcement, first of all, let's if you could pray for Pastor. He's not feeling well. I guess he caught a cold and he's been coughing. He's got some sore throat. That's why I got a phone call this morning to to be ready. And so please pray for me. Amen. So for announcement, on May 6th, that should be next Sunday, right? Next Sunday, we got a Children's Sunday, okay? And we have a potluck fellowship. Amen. That should be exciting, right? Potluck fellowship. Okay, so Children's Sunday and the potluck fellowship next Sunday. May 13th. Anybody knows what that day is? Okay. Okay, kids, better know that. Okay, Mother's Day, May 13th, we'll be celebrating Mother's Day. Also, that day, that's when the kids will be singing. Amen. May 18th, that's a Friday, we have a voice recital. May 19th, that's a musical recital, that's a Saturday. And May 20th is a baby day. And May 27th, we're going to recognize all the graduating students. So that's a graduate Sunday. And June 3rd is a big day for the church. That's our anniversary Sunday. Anything else that should be good? That should be it.
All right, Brother Pat.
Okay, let's all stand as Brother Jerry comes for the reading of God's Word.
Good morning, George. All right. Today I would like to read a letter of James to the believers. James insisted vigorously that faith itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And I would like to read chapter 5 in James. And I will read chapter only 1, 2, 3, and then jump to 12 to 15. Chapter 5, James. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is conquered, and the rest of them shall be witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the laborers who have ripped down your fields, which is, oh, that's verse 4 and 5. I will read it also. Behold, the heart of the laborers who have ripped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, cried, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasures on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your herds as in the day of slaughter. In verse 12, continuing, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. James chapter 3 and all the verses I read. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. And now we have Brother Johnny, special from Brother Johnny.
Good morning, everyone. You know, the world, the unbelievers, they may not recognize God or believe in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't matter, because he's still Lord of all. Please.
My God.
Let's all turn to 482 for offertory hymn, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Bless the offering, Lord. Bless the gift. And bless you, Brother God. And also, Lord, I ask that you help us, Lord, to be faithful when it comes to giving, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Church, like what I said, please lift up our pastor in your prayer. He's not feeling well. He asked me this morning, actually Sister Faith did, called me this morning to fill in for him. He caught some type of a bug, I think last night, from sleeping in a car. He got so tired that he didn't even have the strength to go back into the building, I was told. So he didn't have a blanket or anything like that. He slept, was so tired, in his car. That's how he caught sickness. So please pray for him. And so I'm going to read to you. Please stand. We're going to read chapter 14 of Mark. Chapter 14. It's a story about this lady, a woman with an alabaster box. We're going to talk about her this morning. Mark chapter 14, starting with verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head, on the Lord's head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She had done what she could. She is come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Look at verse 9. And this is why we're talking about this today. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. The Lord told us that we need to speak about this for a memorial of her. In anywhere that the gospel is preached, we're just going to do what we're told to do. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to come together and learn from you, to worship you, to just give honor and glory unto thee. Lord God, we realize our weaknesses, our limitations. We do not trust in this body of flesh that is sinful, but we trust in thee. But we trust in thy power. And we thank you, Lord, that there is a Savior who is alive and who has promised to give us eternal life, to give us that hope. And he has promised that he is coming back. Lord, we pray that it is soon, because we want to be with thee. We want to see thee and spend the rest of eternity with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. A parallel passage about this story can be found in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I'm just going to read quickly to you. If you have your Bible, mark it up. So Mark 14, 3 to 9, a parallel passage can be found in John chapter 12, just to give a little bit more detail on what the story is about. So John chapter 12. Look at this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Same thing, right? Then this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bear what was put therein. By the way, not all church members are saved. If you look in here, one of them was a thief. Amen. Amen? So just because you're a church member, just because your father and mother might be Christian, don't be deceived. You have to know the Lord Jesus Christ on an individual basis. Just because you're a member of a church, it's not a guarantee that you are a saved, born-again child of God. Amen? Amen? So in here, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, had she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me you have not always. There are several things that we can learn from this story. And we're going to break it down and hopefully we learn from them, okay, and apply them in our lives. And first of all, and this is not in order, and like what I said, I was called this morning, early in the morning, while preparing for church, but nevertheless, I'm just going to have the Word of God speak to you. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing that for the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Isn't that strange? Don't you think it's selfish? For the Lord said, well, somebody said, well, that is so expensive. You know, why are you doing this? You know, we could just sell it and then go ahead and help the poor. Help the poor. Do these good things for the world. Do these good things for the poor folks. Yeah, what about the poor folks? You know, people talk about helping poor, helping this, helping that. And it's all become humanistic. As if the human beings are the most important thing of all. As if service to mankind is the most important thing. Don't you hear that a lot? Hey, why don't you go ahead and give us money so we can feed the poor. We do this, do that, and help the other countries. As if the main thing that they need is food or some programs. That's not the main thing that these people need. The main thing that people need is the Lord. Amen? So, isn't it selfish? You imagine the Lord coming up and standing in the United Nations and say, stop all these programs. Stop all this food for the hungry. This is not the most important thing. Stop all these. And let's go send Bibles instead. Don't you know that the people will say, come, just what such an arrogant person. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ doing that? But that's exactly what he said. He said here, for ye have, he said, let her alone, why trouble ye her? For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me, you have not always. Do you know that service and devotion to the Lord is first and foremost? Sometimes we put the Lord Jesus Christ on the same level as others. We all got it all wrong. Service and devotion to the Lord is first and foremost. You may not agree with that. You may think that, well, you got to feed the poor. You got to go help with that, whatever it is that we need to help. You know, that's why whenever Mormons come around, you know, they knock on your door, right? And then they try to help. They say, hey, what can we do for you? You want me to mow the lawn and do the dishes for you and fix this, fix that? And is the focus is on helping and focus is on just material things. Hey, why not we talk about the Lord for a change? Amen? Why not we just go ahead and send a message out saying, what the world really needs is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, instead of spending more money on things that don't even matter, why don't we spend a little bit more money on the missionaries? Amen? And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. For ye have the poor with you always. But me, you don't have always. You know, the other thing that we learn from this passage here, it's not only that devotion to Christ is first and foremost, it is also that there is a, what's the proper term? Time is running out. You know that the service for the Lord and doing things for the Lord and in the ministry, there is a sense of urgency. There has to be a sense of urgency. Just take a look at this. John chapter... Yeah, go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Here's what the Lord said. Verse 7. Then Jesus... Look at verse 7. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this." This woman is already doing something for the Lord in anticipation of his death. Can you see the sense of urgency in this woman's action? He says, "Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this." All these other folks in this place, they were talking to the Lord, they were probably doing fellowship and what have you. And you come to this woman doing some strange thing for the Lord at that moment. And they're questioning her. And the Lord had to correct them. You see, you guys are thinking about a lot of things that will benefit you. What will benefit you? What are you going to get out of life? What kind of blessings will you have? What are you trying to pray for? This woman, on the other hand, is thinking about something that will happen in the future. And she's already doing it because she knows that the time is running out. I will be buried. I will die. And she's already thinking about it. That's why she's already making the offer. Serving the Lord because she knows that her time is running out. That she won't have a whole lot of time to serve the Lord. To show her service. To show her the devotion. To show him the devotion. That's why she's doing it. You know, if you have Christians that actually think that the Lord is about to come. You know, the Lord can come anytime. But people don't think about it. Christians don't even worry about it. How do I know that? How do I know that Christians don't even think about it? Look at what you have. Take a look at what you have. Take a look at what you're spending your time on every day, every week. Take a look at what you're concerned about in your life. And tell me if you are anticipating Christ's return. We are all guilty of it. Amen? We are all guilty of it. What are we going to eat after church? What buffet are we going to go to? What clothes am I going to wear? Am I going to have a promotion? My kid's going to go to this college, that college. Where are we going to live after we retire? You know, what kind of car am I going to get after this one breaks down? How much money am I going to have in the bank? We are so worried about so many things in life. Then, do we even think that or concern about the Lord's? He might return tonight. He might return tomorrow. And our time is just so little, you don't even realize it. But the actions of Christians today don't say that we are wanting to have the Lord come back. This woman here, the Lord said, "No, don't bother her. Don't bother her. She did this. Why? Why did she do this? Because she knows that I'm going to be buried soon. That's why she's doing it now, for me. Are you doing something for the Lord now? Knowing that he could come anytime? Or knowing that you could probably be gone and be dead? And the chance for you to serve the Lord is now. I don't know what it is. But anything that you do, that we do in life, that the Lord is not in it, it's really not going to matter for eternity. Amen? What else do we learn from this? Aside from that devotion to the Lord, true devotion, real devotion is to the Lord is way more important than devotion to mankind, than devotion to our own family. And not only that we should act and live as if the Lord is coming back soon. Like this woman. What else do we learn from this? We'll take a look. Verse 3, Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Mark chapter 14. And also, you know, actually, John chapter 12, verse 3. All the same. I'm going to read John chapter 12, verse 3, and also Mark 14. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Again, Mark 14, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. This time it's very precious. The other passage says very costly. You know that real devotion for the Lord will cost you something. You know, we're so afraid to devote our time and effort. You're so afraid to serve the Lord and do things for our God because it's not comfortable. Because it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us our time, our effort. It's going to cost our reputation. Afraid to live, to tell the world that you're a Christian, to tell others that you're a Christian. Afraid to live and act and speak like you're a Christian because you don't want to be branded as a Christian. It's going to cost you your reputation. Afraid to spend time because it's going to cost you time. Afraid to spend money because it's going to cost you money. Real devotion, it is going to cost you. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to give time, money, effort? Maybe your name for Christ. This woman did. I don't know how much this alabaster box cost back then with ointment of spikenard. But she poured this ointment on Jesus' feet, willing to give. You know, I'm not talking about monetary value here. We're not talking just about that. But take a look. Is it the reason why you're been putting off the things that you know you ought to do? You know, coming to church, doing things for the church, for the missionary, for yourself, for your family, for things that glorify the Lord. But you're not willing to do it because it's going to cost you something. But that's what a real devotion is.
it'll cost you. Being a Christian, being saved is free. But after that, it's going to cost you. You know, I am reminded of, now thinking of that, I'm reminded of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm reminded, here's what it says, chapter 4 in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Amen. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. It's going to cost you your reputation. You know why? And also, in real devotion, you know what it'll do? Take a look at verse 4 of Mark chapter 14. Aside from this, it's going to cost you. And just like what we read in 1 Peter, you know what else is going to happen? Verse 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Why was this waste of the ointment made? You know what's going on around here? Someone who's serving the Lord, who's devoting, who has a genuine devotion for Christ, will draw attention, will draw opposition. Look at that. There were some that had indignation within themselves. Are you afraid to live for the Lord because some co-workers, some family members might be offended? Are you afraid to offend folks that you'd rather keep associations or you'd rather keep friends because, you know, than pleasing the Lord? Because you don't want to lose friends. You don't want to lose your co-workers. You continue want to be to look okay, instead of living and pleasing God. Let me tell you, when you start living for the Lord, all kinds of criticisms, all kinds of oppositions will come your way. You don't even have to look for it. And here's another thing about that. If you're not having these oppositions in your life, maybe there's something wrong with your Christianity. Maybe you're just living a life that, you know, you're just, you know, starting to stay in the middle so that you don't offend this, you don't do this, so you don't want them to know you're a Christian, so you're just trying to go along with everybody. You know, you're at work, you're everywhere, you're in a restaurant. You know you ought to pray for your food, but you don't want to pray for your food because I don't want them to look at me and look like I'm crazy. You know, they think I'm out of my mind. You don't want opposition. The Bible says that we'd rather please God than please man. Remember that? That's what Peter said. When he is commanded by all these authorities not to preach in the name of Christ, you know what he said? I'd rather obey God than man. Who are you afraid of? Who would you rather please? Let me tell you, you cannot serve God and mammon. Amen? So not only that, you'll have opposition. Not only that, that your devotion, your real devotion for the Lord is going to cost you something. But here's what else. Open John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12. And this all relate together. John chapter 12, verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And what happened to the house? What happened to the house? The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What does that mean? That you know, if you're living for the Lord, people are going to know. People are going to know that you are being, you've been keeping up with God. You've been spending time with the Lord in prayer. You've been spending time in His Word because, well, there's no way you can be familiar with God's words without spending time in God's words. Amen. There's no way that your faith can be strengthened if you're not spending time in prayer with the Lord. Amen. People are going to know. Oh, there's something about that person. Because whenever you walk in that place and then you start to talk, and they're going to know that you have been with Christ. Remember that? Because the songs that you like to sing, because the music that you like to play, the topics of your conversations, the things that interest you are God's. They're going to know. What do you talk more about at work? Is it sports? Their movies, how to make money, or whatever, you fill in the blank. But someone who has real devotion, genuine devotion, will fill the house. Will fill the house. Because what happens when the Word of God and the love of God in your heart, you're so filled with it, what happens? Then you start singing. Right, Brother Johnny? Yes, amen. You start singing. You start talking more about God. You start being more concerned about, you know, the things about God, the Word of God. Amen. Let's take a look at another thing. What else here? Mark chapter 14. I lost my place here. Mark 14. Let's take a look at verse 6. Verse 6, Mark chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said, "Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could." Last thing I want to share with you is this. Maybe your best is not better than someone else's best. Maybe your talents are really not what other would consider talents. Maybe in the effort of serving the Lord, you fail. Maybe the ministry is not as successful as others would consider as successful. Maybe there's not really anyone recognizing your service for the Lord because you're just working in the back, taking care of the kids, the little ones. Maybe, you know, you're just teaching Sunday school or what have you. Maybe you're just a secret prayer warrior. No one can know. And because no one is recognizing you, that maybe that is just your best. But that's what matters. The Lord said she had done what she could. You know what this woman did? All she did was use that, you know, very expensive ointment. And all that she didn't really do a lot of following Christ along the way and healing the sick and cleansing all these miracles. All she did was came into the house, poured this oil on the Lord's feet, and started wiping with her hair. And you may think, well, what is that? I mean, that's all you can do? I mean, that's not much, you know. Where's your followers? You don't have a lot of followers. That's all. She did what she could. That was her best. She probably sold everything she had in order to get that ointment. Maybe for a rich person, that rich person could do more. But for that woman, she has done what she could. So here's a question for you and me. Are we doing what we can? If your best is just that, whatever, you know, playing the piano and cleaning the toilet or whatever. If that is the best that you can give, that's all what the Lord asks of you.
Amen.
Maybe because of your age, there's only certain things that you can do. But if you're doing what you can, that's the best in God's eyes. And that's what matters. The Lord said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." That's why we talk about her. Because we learn from her. Real devotion costs something. Real devotion will fill the house. Real devotion will draw attention, opposition. But if your devotion is the best that you can do, that is all what the Lord is asking for. And that is what matters. Let us all stand. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. No one looking around with a piano playing. We looked at some things about this woman. Now it's time to look at us. How about we look at us, ourselves, and in a way compare us to what this woman did. It's not so much what she did per se. For a lot of folks, it wasn't much. But you know, for God, for the Lord, that was the best. Is your service, devotion to our Lord, something that cost you? Or you're just doing things, as long as it is not inconveniencing you, as long as it is just extra of your time and your money and your effort, then you do it. Why not, you know, start really giving that devotion that is genuine? You're willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to put your neck out and once in a while draw opposition? Because you're not ashamed to live for Christ? Are you still one of those secret agent Christians who's just a Christian inside a church? Our altar is open. Give you a few minutes to think about this woman. What do we learn from her? Have we been filling the house every time we walk in? Maybe we're not, because our heart's not filled with the things of God. And if you're not saved this morning, you don't know what I'm talking about. You're probably one of these folks that were so concerned about the poor folks. Oh, what about the poor folks? Maybe the reason why you'd rather help the poor folks than serve the Lord is you've never been saved. Have you been saved? Is Christ your Lord? God, people say,
amen.
Amen. So this afternoon, so 5:30 this afternoon, I invite you to come back this evening. And again, please be prayerful for our pastor. Let's pray that he gets well soon. He can come and preach to us. Brother Burmack, would you please close us in prayer? Amen. Amen.